Yes.
Okay, I call a meeting to order. Yesterday, we, are your group coming today or not?
No, no, they're not coming today. Chet had an unavoidable personal conflict that came up today, so.
Welcome, Dave, and everybody that's at the meeting. The minutes are in your packet. Anybody have any concerns with the minutes? Motion to approve?
I'll make it.
Second.
Any other further discussion? So, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. Anything yet?
Motion.
Tim?
No, sir.
Liz?
No.
I'd like to say, I just want to apologize for not making a meeting. That's, that 3-6 timeline didn't work out too well. All right, moving to the next thing. Any unfinished business you can think of?
Not a one.
Okay. Want a new business, major subdivision?
Yep, three of them. Couple of them are with PRD, so you should have in your packets. Lodestone subdivision, Biltmore section, section 9, should just be one lot, lot 13. You guys just approved lot 12 last month. So this one is 145 lots, got preliminary approval back in September 2013. Different sections of some individual lots recently for approval. We had bonds for everything in it.
Any issue with it, you say?
Yeah, this is a.
Just formality.
Yeah, I mean, it's a single lot, so, and they have bonds to cover the road infrastructure, so. I think they've been doing some work up there that we could maybe release some bonds in the future, but haven't yet.
Anybody have any concerns with it? You need a motion on that?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved, Chad.
Okay. And then one more to with PRD. This is North Camp Ridge, section 3. And this one's 175 total lots, got planning commission preliminary approval back in September 2015. So this is a little bigger one. They've got, this is 17 lots? 27 lots, actually. So in this section, then there's a second page to that, too, where you have some other lots down around this end. But this one, they still have to submit a bond for this next section. We've done some inspections up there. We have two bonds already for infrastructure and roads. They have to submit another bond for this section. I believe they're working on that. So I'll hold these plats. Won't release them until we get a bond cover on the infrastructure.
Is this NLP?
Yes. Any questions on this one?
Good. I'll make a motion based on the receipt of bond.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor? All opposed? So moved.
And the last one is just a regular subdivision. That's College Heights. That should be in the packet. So we have two things to approve this time. The first is the preliminary plan, and they've submitted a final plat for the first section. First, we may take action on the preliminary plan.
Is this Hugh Umble?
Yeah, Hugh Umble's the one that's 15 lots. I believe the roads are already in. You called and told me they were in, ready for inspection. I haven't been out yet. So we would release a final plat till we look at the roads.
I think they're pretty well in if they're not all in.
Yeah. So I just have to look at the roads. I'll go with Dave Ritchie and then confirm with Public Utilities and all the, their infrastructure's in.
Do the roads have to be paved?
No, this is 15 lots. You have to get over 20 before you're required to pave. So they need to be 16 foot and 1 foot shoulders. The first thing you would take action on would just be preliminary approval of the entire subdivision.
So you do the preliminary first?
Yeah.
All right, I'll make a motion for preliminary approval.
Second?
I'll second.
Where's the change?
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.
So along with that, then they've submitted the final record plat for section 1, which is just two of the lots. That's just lot 14 and 15, right down near the road, right down here. So this would be to actually record this to put these two on the market. But like I said, we'll make sure the roads are inspected first before we release this.
Any questions with this?
Make a motion to approve.
Motion. Second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Zoning appeals cases.
There's only one, and it's actually carried over from last month. It is the Collinger case. What happened was we got into the meeting, and the applicant asked if he could modify. He wanted to change the size of the house that he wanted to build. Remember, this is the one where he was going to replace a house, his existing house with another one, not get any closer to the buy-down. However, what he had originally proposed was a very, very big house, and the neighbors were objecting to it. So he asked if he could submit a different one with a smaller house. So it was carried over so that he would have the opportunity to submit a revised site plan. And he has done that, and that's what this case is. So this case last time, you didn't have any formal comments on, but it's the only case this time.
Probably had a pretty contentious meeting the way it sounded. I was talking to Bill Ingram and Bob, he said, especially that one with the boarding house or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you there, Nate? That is what they said.
Were you there?
Yes.
You were handling it? You might fill us, I was curious, that's kind of old business, and I forgot to mm-hmm. ask, but you might elaborate on
yeah,
something.
They did approve it
with a lot of the other two also.
They did approve it with conditions, and they had about 9 conditions to address a lot of the neighbors' concerns about
is
trespassing
this
and noise. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's where that's at for right now. There's 30 days to appeal, and there was one neighbor that was looking at an appeal on that one. So not sure where it's going to go. But they did put a lot of conditions on it. Nothing unreasonable, I don't think. What was another case? Monkey Business.
Yeah.
It was conditionally approved as well. It was conditioned on the installation of fencing or netting to control errant golf balls and for children's safety. Fencing must be neutral color and be approved by this board before installation. It's all in this minutes here. Low-level lighting is permitted. Hours of operation had to stay the same for the site. The variance was denied. So the variance was to get closer to the lot lines than what is applied to the outdoor recreation use that is there, which is 50 feet. So a miniature golf, if that's all that's on the site, can get within 20 feet, and that's what she was asking for, but that was denied.
What was there any reaction? Did they have any reaction to that?
No, Karen has not. She left that night, and she didn't seem overly angry when she passed me, and she said goodbye, and she hasn't said anything since then. Any other questions about those cases?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just one quick question. When there's a project and a neighbor has a concern,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't prevent a project. That's up to the judgment of the commission then.
Right. Right. Yeah, and especially on special exceptions. Basically, what has to be proved is that it would be worse there than any other place in that district. And that's kind of a hard thing to prove, but what they can do is take those concerns and turn them into conditions.
Now the boarding house, back to that,
mm-hmm.
the neighbors were concerned about just a bunch of people there. What was the, I'm just
well,
curious of what the...
It's kind of a hybrid. It's not a hotel, it's not a TVRU, it's little hobbit houses.
It's more like a common area where everybody gets together, eats, uses.
Right. And they're not allowed more than 8 people to be there at any point in time. And the board went and visited the site, and it is kind of out in the middle of not a whole lot. I think you could see 2 houses on either side from that location. So.
It's kind of like a detached bedroom.
Yes.
Kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing in those rooms were a bed and a table.
No
they were
bathroom.
Very small. No bathroom, no kitchen.
So maybe you said, and I missed it, what was the nature of the concern that the neighbors had about?
Noise, trespassing, that it would be a big commercial enterprise, that there would be lots more people there.
More than eight?
Yeah, yeah, that was a concern. There is still, I think, from what I talked to Bill Thomas the other day, there is a concern about whether or not that lot is within that subdivision and subject to their covenants and restrictions. So I'm not sure where that's gone. He was going to dig up some deeds and try to figure it out, because he was assured by the owner that it was not, and that's what he said during the hearing, and then I guess there's some question now, so we'll see where that goes.
Anything else?
Not for zoning, unless there's another question.
Moving on to the report.
All right, so, go back to my other notes. All right, so you hopefully should have received 5 comments, 4 via email and 1 that I handed you today. Now, there was one comment that had a follow-up comment. I'm not counting that. I'm counting both of those as 1. So, did you receive all of those? Okay, I only printed out 1. If you want the others printed out, just see me after, and I'll go over there and make copies for you.
Could you make that a little smaller, Paul? Please.
I'm going to have to talk to IT. They all come in really teeny tiny. I don't know how to fix that. Okay. So, in previous things that I've done, there have been requests from the public that any comments be posted online. I haven't heard that this time around, but I wanted to ask you, do you think all the comments we receive should be posted?
How much aggravation is it for you? I mean, is it?
More aggravation for IT, because I'm going to say.
I mean, if you don't mind.
Figure out how to do it.
Since we did it before, we might as well do it this time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should do it.
Hopefully there won't be as many comments as there was last time.
Yeah.
Is that agreeable? I mean, I think that's. Because as soon as you don't do it, somebody's going to probably say something.
Right. Okay. So, a review of the environmental open house, as you know, it was a different day, time, and location. It was on a Monday, 3 to 6, at the Continuing Education Building. And it was kind of an experiment to see which one worked out better, and the Monday worked out better. We had better attendance. The location was much better, as I think the gym just overpowered us. We were tiny, and the gym was big, and this was the right size room for what we were doing. So that all worked out better, so that's why you will note that the economic open house is on Monday from 3 to 6 in the same room. So there was lots of discussion and comments. Jeff Connor, Liz, and Bruce attended. Do you have any observations you want to make about what you heard there?
I thought a lot of people were actually pretty interactive with it, although one of the comments I did hear was that the maps weren't accurate, and I'm not sure what that deal was, but I think a lot of people really did interact with the exhibits and did write their comments, and it was positive, I thought.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing that I had written down here next. The maps were not good, and as a former map maker, I wasn't happy with that. Chet has apologized profusely. He apparently did not check them before he came and took full responsibility for that and assures me it will never happen again. So we'll see about that. A question that I want to pose to you was posed there, was posed later at the commissioner's meeting, from my understanding, from Michael Bell. Would like to see us consider another public meeting. That would be after the draft is created, but before you guys have your public hearing. It is not part of the contract with AECOM at this point in time to do that.
What's the reason for it?
Well,
so they can get enough people in to bitch about fracking. Pardon me, I should have said
that. You do know this is recorded, right?
You're exactly correct.
So the thing that I always like to bring out as diplomatically as possible, an open house format I really like because there's a lot of opportunity for discussion. People talk to each other, people talk to the people that are standing there. We take down their comments, and I think it's very positive in that way. The traditional public meeting has a presentation and then a mic, and then you call up people one at a time, and they get a chance to say what they want to say. I think that's what they want in this instance, which is what the public hearing will be. But is there value, in your opinion, to doing one after the draft is made so that those comments can...
Why can't we just do it here?
Early? It's a public meeting.
The meeting after the draft, just to have it open.
Well, your meetings are always open.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that would be...
Okay.
What do you think about that? Well, we're not changing anything. We're not doing anything...
We're just really presenting a draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people pretend it to be an opportunity, another opportunity for the public input, but what they really mean is an opportunity for them to get up and lecture and pontificate to everybody else and show us how smart they are. I think we should do it personally.
I think we should do it too.
Why not, really? If it's another opportunity for public input, I'd rather do that. Personally, I'd rather do that than be accused of choosing not to provide an opportunity for the public to look at the plan. And I think you're right. If we could do it in here as part of our... I don't see why we couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's advertised, I can put the draft out on the website prior to and...
You can almost predict who will be here. Mm-hmm. I mean,
because it's not in their contract having a public meeting. They might as well do it. They've got to come to this.
Right.
So rather than paying them extra money to come to a public hearing or a public meeting,
and setting it up at the college and doing all of
you
that.
You have a problem with that? I mean, you're going to get 10 or 15 people that are going to show up and voice an opinion, but we've had it happen before.
I think it's very good. I think that's a very good logic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you make it clear that it's only for them to voice an opinion and nobody's going to put me on the spot to take a vote because somebody's sitting here looking at me?
Yeah, there's no vote. It's just
no vote.
I'm not going to make a motion. I'm going to listen to what they say. But I mean,
right.
I know how these things turn. And
I think it'd be very wise to say, like we do at some of the commissioners' meetings, where we say, you have an opportunity to speak, we're going to listen to you, we're not responding to anything you say, we're not making a decision today.
Right.
No one who might come, I think that would...
That's the way it is at a public meeting anyway, a public hearing. Yeah, well, there's no... It's just a matter of Dave wants to get up and say, we'll give you 5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever, and that's one thing I learned. I can stop you in 5 minutes or whatever the timeline is. Because that's something I learned the hard way in a meeting, chairing a meeting anyway. Because some people want to bloviate for hours. But I think that's a simple thing to do.
Okay. All right, we'll get that done.
And we'll leave it open. We'll leave it an hour, whatever, an hour window. I'll explain that, an hour window for public comment, and that's it.
While we're talking about that, and Deb mentioned our last commissioner's public meeting, there were a couple people there. When it came time for the public comment period, one of the attendees asked us a question about fracking. She said, well, there's a lot of talk out in the community about an initiative to bring fracking back to the county. And have you, the board, are you doing anything? We're not doing anything. We haven't heard anything. We don't have any idea where that's coming from. This person is running for office, so it may be, not saying, somebody, not me, of course, but somebody speculated that this may be an attempt to stir up more people and get more people involved in the election in November. But they said that there's a lot of scuttlebutt, a lot of rumors, a lot of talk out in the community about fracking coming back, and we basically said We haven't heard anything. We're not doing it. It's a state law. We couldn't do anything if we wanted to. There's nothing going on that we know of, so you may hear about it.
Yeah, some of the comments actually that were received were about that. So. Okay, so that's that question. There was a comment about the confusion of the open house format is that people expect a presentation and they don't really understand what's expected of them when they get there and what our process is and what we're doing and why we're doing it and that sort of thing. So what we're doing for this one is adding a station for me to explain why we're doing this and what the process is and how it works and how it flows. So that will be the first time that that will happen, but that will happen at the next meeting. So the next meeting, August 13th, Economic Open House. Like I said, 3-6, come if you can. I have invited Mike Huff, the Economic Development Director, give him a special invitation to arrive and any of his staff. I'm thinking I'm probably going to extend an invitation to Nathaniel Watkins and Cheryl DeBerry, who work on the broadband project, so they can, since broadband will be part of this discussion as well. Garrett Trails, the Chamber, the Board of Realtors, they always get an invitation, but I did make note for Garrett Trails that the transportation chapter usually contains their initiatives, so they might want to make sure that they're there for this one to give their comments. And of course, Chamber and Board of Realtors are going to be interested in economic development and specifically tourism, I think, a lot. So is there anyone else that you feel would need a special invite or that I should reach out to give us comments? Again, your topics are economic development, infrastructure, and transportation.
Think of anybody else.
That's it. Okay. So it did go out to the usual suspects. It's in all the libraries and the town halls. It's online. It's the usual things that I go through. I've included a flyer in your packet. Feel free to make copies and hand them out to whoever you want to hand them out to or place them wherever you want to place them. So, to go through the stuff that Chet has sent that I passed out today, 5 stations, the sign-in table like we usually do. The second station is my station, and I will flesh out the details of that later, but you know in general what it's to be. The economic development station, you will note that second page that's on economic development, these are the goals and objectives from the 2008 comprehensive plan. What they do is they display them, and then they put all the topics, the proposed topics that we might want to make sure we consider, and then have the public say whether they agree or disagree or if we missed anything. You will recall our consultant topic list that I painstakingly took you through for months at a time. That's where all this is coming from. Also probably coming from the stakeholder meetings they've already had. So looked over that list of proposed topics. Did we miss anything? Under the economic development page that has goals and objectives and then proposed topics. Goals and objectives obviously are the ones from the last plan.
Do I have any comments on the agenda?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, it is.
You're touching on the stuff. That...
Yeah, the second station is, the third station, I guess, infrastructure. It again, on that separate sheet for infrastructure,
right.
Proposed topics, electric, broadband, hard infrastructure versus soft infrastructure, sewer expansion and infill, and then highways and other modes, including everything from the Parks and Rec plan. The recommendations from there, that would be trails, pedestrian, all that stuff. We're covering everything for infrastructure. And then transportation, That's more detail on the transportation section. Not so much about the, well, it is about the network. There's some overlap there. That's a separate one. Again, proposed topics, roads, trails, bike, walk, walking, pedestrians, public transit, airport, and rail. We miss anything? Okay. All right, then that's what we're going to give the public to chew on at that meeting.
I just wish we had still had pagers and could page me and tell me there was a thing at like 3 o'clock.
Well, I can make myself a note to send you something.
My brain's like.
I can send out a reminder to everybody that morning.
You need an
it's
Apple
entirely
watch.
Possible.
I don't know what
you
I
need an Apple Watch.
I need something.
I'm curious that the additional meeting or the meeting that we're going to include with our
with one of these, yes.
When might that be? Do we know when the hearing, do we have a hearing date or do we know which meeting, which
well,
month that's going to
Well, the hearing
happen?
Date has to wait until after you approve a draft
okay.
and it goes to state agencies and it has to go through that and Lord only knows how long it's going to take them to,
right.
to review
Some
the document. So
okay.
then public hearing after that.
Right.
This could be before it gets sent to
okay.
the state agencies. So, and we're anticipating and hoping that we'll have a draft in November. So we could do it in November or we can do it in December.
Okay, anything else? Dave? Jim?
Just one thing. I was approached by some people that had heard, there's a trailer park back behind Duhumble's, what's that called, Fruitland Fresh or Shopper or something or other. Behind that, there's the Community Action Housing Project. And then behind that, I didn't know this, there's a trailer court. And there's a rumor going around that trailer park has been condemned. It has not been condemned, but there are issues there the health department's working on. I guess some of there are problems with the septic systems on several of the sites there. And the health department is trying to get those people to hook up to the public sewer system. And I think they're actually going down there and pumping out some of the septics on a regular basis. But it hasn't been condemned. But I think maybe, I'm not sure, there's some speculation that the owner is telling the occupants that it's been condemned so that he can get them out of there. I think he wants to sell it. But some of the occupants have contacted the Attorney General's office or somewhere, and they've been told he has to give at least, I think it's 1 year's advance
mm-hmm.
notice
it's a year.
Or something like that before he can kick them out. So if you hear that, it hasn't been condemned. There's just some internal stuff going on there. I didn't even know it was there. I've never been back in there. But apparently,
I put there long
time.
Some
long
of them
time.
Are apparently in pretty bad shape,
yeah.
I guess.
All that had to be blasted. You had to blast to get the septic tanks and stuff in back in. It was there.
It's very rocky
back in
there.
One of the first trailer, yeah. One of the first. Ray Ferguson put it
Yeah,
there.
It's mm-hmm. Ray Ferguson's
yeah.
property.
I don't know if he still has it or not.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
Excuse me. What is
he did the trail, then he did the housing.
Ruling or something about 1 year?
You have to, if you ask someone to move a mobile home that's attached to land and you ask them to move it because you want your property back, essentially, you have to give them a year to do it. So you have to give them a year's notice. I think my understanding, and I might be incorrect, was that he gave them 60 days.
I think that's right.
And some of this, you know, they called attorneys who told them to get an opinion from the Attorney General's office, and it's a year.
And it just applies to mobile homes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else? Mm-mm. Anybody else? Next meeting is September 5th?
Yes.
Good deal. See you there.
Okay. Enjoy the rainy fair.